Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Hello, After Buzzers. Season 28 of Dancing with the Stars has come to a close, and there are some surprises and some mind-boggling freestyles. Stay tuned, and we're going to talk all about it.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, with the buzz.
Hey, it's Dancing with the Stars for Dallas.
Season 28.
Okay, enough of that. That was just so busted and wrong on so many levels. But welcome back, you guys, for season 28, the finale of Dancing with the Stars. I finally made it back here. I've been so remiss in being here, but oh my God, I'm here now, and I'm so excited to join the panel to talk about this finale. I am one of the hosts of Dancing with the Stars here at AfterBuzz, Carla Renata. And as usual, we got a lot to talk about. Y'all know what my dance background is. I'm a Broadway baby, and I love Dancing with the Stars. I've watched all 28 seasons of it, and I'm down for all of that. And I'm joined by Jeff Graham and Carla Beltran, and I'll tell them about y'all. So for the people that are just tuning in for the first time, but if you're tuning in for the first time, you're a little late. I'm just saying. Okay.
Hi, guys. Welcome to the Dancing with the Stars app show. As Carla mentioned, we're so excited to be here. Finale night. And yeah. Great season. I had a ton of fun with you guys.
Yeah.
Teague is in the chat now. We miss you, girl. But nice Teague. That you can join us in spirit. Jeff Graham here, guys. I danced on a boat for a while, playing Bob Gaudio in a Jersey Boys tribute show. Probably a better singer than dancer, but they're like related, right?
Yes, of course.
Yes. If you like a good tenor too, that's what I do.
And I am Carla Beltran, Carla with a K.
Yes.
We always forget to say that.
I know
that,
we forget to say that. Yeah. Carla with a C, Carla with a K.
Yes. Carla with a K. And I used to dance while growing up, and I actually worked for Dancing with the Stars. So.
Yes, she did. Insider. Yes.
She's got inside info. Okay, well, before we get into the finale, let me just say that while I wasn't here last week, I was at a function, basically the ABC Disney Christmas party, holiday party, where I ran into Whitney. And Whitney told me to keep an eye out for Kel tonight, and I'm so glad she did, because yep. We saw some good stuff. But before I get into that conversation, what did we think overall about how the finale, kind of the flow of the finale this evening?
You go first.
And the season overall, like, how do we feel about that?
Yeah, taking it all in.
For me, I didn't really feel like it was a finale, only because I feel like most of the time for the finale, they go all out and they have extra stuff and they have, like, guests and they have more dances. And it's usually normally around the holidays, so there's either, like, Christmas tree or something, like, related, or, like, they'll do a little parade on the outside of, like, the studio. But they kind of kept it all inside the studio, and it was very much like any other episode as the whole season went on, you know? So it didn't really feel much like a finale until, like, the end.
Yeah.
You're right. They would do that whole thing at the Grove, and they would have Santa in the sleigh and the whole reindeer situation. And they would, part of it would be outside of the Grove. Part of it would be in the studio. They usually would, you're right, have more guests performing. I don't know. This season overall felt just weird. It felt off kilter. It just felt off. And I don't know why it felt off. I don't know if the judges deciding who was going home at the end of every episode kind of put a damper on it. I don't know if not having theme nights like we were discussing off the air was part of it. Like, I can't quite pinpoint what it was that made me feel like wah, wah, wah.
I think all of that.
Yeah, and know. I also know from an inside perspective that they actually got new producers this year. So they have a whole new inside team. And a lot of people that used to work on the show didn't come back to work on the show this year.
Then that's
so there
sense.
Is a big difference with a lot of the people that were working within the show. That's why there was a lot of changes.
I think it's kind of a collection of everything you mentioned, Carla. There wasn't any huge thing this year that made the season significantly different, but when you don't have theme nights often, when you have the judges picking who's getting eliminated, when you don't have I just think in general, I'm used to higher highs, but also lower lows. Mm-hmm. This season was just a little more steady, but at the same time, I think it was leaning away from what I
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Think makes the show really fun. I feel like the show was chasing instincts it shouldn't have necessarily been chasing. I think it assumes that everyone wants to see a return to basics and a return to simplicity, but personally, I don't want that. I like the theme nights. I like some of the risks that the show takes, and I feel like when you look back on the season, you can kind of see overall that the return to simplicity didn't necessarily behoove the show for me.
Yeah.
You know, Carla, that's a good point that you made about, because I wasn't aware about the new producers. And that's a really good point. They were probably coming in trying to make their own stamp, make their own mark and fluff it up in a way that they thought was going to be interesting. But I bet some of those new people that came on haven't really watched the show for all 28 seasons or even a good portion of it. So they probably weren't aware and didn't have their pulse on what makes it exciting for people like us and the people in the chat room and the fans out
and
in the audience.
And people that have been watching the show for like years, you know?
Because I've been watching it since day one, straight up. Like when the show started tonight, one of the things that I said was, I remember when Kel jumped out in the High School Musical number, I was like, oh, I remember season one, they had Monique from High School Musical as a contestant on the show. Like, that's how long I've been watching the show. I was like, and when that actually came out of my mouth, I was like, oh, okay, well, girl.
You've been a longtime fan.
You're showing your Dancing with the Stars age, but okay. So let's get into it. There was no judges saved tonight, so it was strictly based on scores, I guess, because they didn't really say
scores and votes.
And votes. Scores and votes.
Mainly votes.
Mainly votes, but they gave a big shout-out at the top of the show to Bruno and their director, Phil Hayes, because both of them were celebrating a birthday this evening. So happy birthday, Bruno and Phil Hayes. Whoop, whoop. So there was that. And then we got started right into the competition. Like, they did not mess around. They were like, okay, we just going to get started. And we started out with Ali and Sasha, who did a jive to Proud Mary. So most of the dances, the first dances for everybody was a revisit of something that they did, that they either did really well on or something that was like their favorite dance.
Yeah.
When Ali did this this jive the first time around, I was all about her doing this jive. Mm. I remember watching that thinking, well, okay, we got a contender here. Yeah. I loved her doing that. And she got a perfect score for that. Which is funny because she's been getting a perfect score the last couple of weeks. And it's also funny because they were railing her for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it totally flipped on its head. They went from totally railing her to giving her perfect tens. What do you think was the turnaround for her with the judges, you guys?
I think at the beginning of the show, we saw a very, very big version of Ali that wasn't necessarily ballroom, right? She was a great dancer, but she was kind of dancing like a pop star. And I think Sasha and the judges had to kind of tone her down and turn her into more of a technician. And I think that transition is what really put her over the edge. I don't know. Personally, I don't want to be a hater. I really do like Ali. She's grown on me. I think on average, she was scored a little more generously than the rest of the contestants for the last 3 weeks. She's excellent. But I've noticed that for some contestants, they'll nitpick mistakes and give them a 9 because of it.
Yeah.
And for Ali, they'll do that. There was a couple mistakes, but overall, it was so good. We'll give you a 10. And I don't know, maybe in the ballroom, it's just really that energy of perfection's coming through. But I found them to be less nitpicky with her than some of the other contestants, especially James.
Yeah, definitely. I actually just wanted to say that when she first started this and she was singing, she totally gave me goosebumps. It was amazing. It was incredible. But I think that she did it amazing the first time, and then she came back out and did the dance incredible.
Yeah, she slayed it. And you made a really good point, Jeff. And Carla, Jeff and I, you guys, we were talking about this before we got on the air. As someone who's been in that ballroom during a live taping, we were saying that sometimes what we see on television doesn't translate as well as it may in the ballroom, which is why some of the scores are reflected the way that they are for some of the contestants.
Yeah.
Like in the ballroom, it will feel like it is electric. And then you watch it on TV and you're like, ooh, that doesn't look like the same dance I saw, and vice versa. So that was a really good point that you made. But I thought she killed it. And someone in the chat room brought up to me that not only was Monique from High School Musical on the show, but Corbin Blue was on the show as well. But they weren't in the same season. Yeah. Yeah. They were both were on Dancing with the Stars at some point.
Yes, exactly. Zac Efron will do Dancing with the Stars.
I sure hope so.
That would put the show over if he did.
Yeah.
Zac Efron did it.
He would win.
You think he would win?
Yes.
I don't know.
I would go back and watch it.
He might win if he take that shirt off. I'm just saying. He might have taken that shirt off.
Exactly.
All right. So then next up doing a revisit was Lauren and Gleb, Foxtrot to Jolene. So this is one thing that we never brought up during the whole season, which I just recognized tonight, just slow, and I don't even know why. But everybody's team had a hashtag, and their hashtag was hashtag Team Hunk. Team Tonky Honk,
which
I thought was hilarious. Yeah. That made me laugh so much. But this is what I have to say about Lauren, Elena, and Gleb. Lauren Elena is a perfect example of what Dancing with the Stars is supposed to be. You take someone who is a celebrity, who has never done ballroom or any kind of dance whatsoever, and you put them in a ballroom dancing situation, and they go literally from like, you know, They form into a butterfly. They go from like a little moth to like a little butterfly. And it was so wonderful. Like, remember the first couple of weeks she was complaining about her costumes being too short and showing too much skin and this thing might coming out and this, that, and the other. And she went from that to like totally owning her sexuality, stepping into it. She was graceful. She was beautiful. And I really was rooting for her because I remember her from American Idol.
Yeah.
And she wasn't the winner on American Idol. And I really, really wanted this to be a win for her because out of everyone on the show, despite the ones that made it to the semifinals and the finals, to me, she was the one contestant that really grew the most and totally embodies what Dancing with the Stars is supposed to be about.
Yeah, well definitely. Said.
Clip that out.
I know, seriously.
I mean, seriously, though. She was a joy to watch.
Yeah.
She never, even some of the things that someone would misconstrue as her complaining, for some reason when Lauren Elena would say it, it never felt like a complaint.
Yeah, no. She is so humble is the thing. And we've seen every single part of her personality. I think you said that earlier. And I think that it's incredible to just kind of see the growth from when she started to where she is now. Even with her dancing, she did this dance originally for week four. And to going back and doing it again, she just did it even better with her legs were accentuated and she was just kind of like, okay, I feel comfortable with myself. And she's incredible. I'm really sad that she didn't take the mirror ball home.
I've said it a couple of times and I'll say it again, but loved Gleb and Lauren as a partnership.
Yes.
Surprisingly.
And you said before we were on the air that you were surprised about their partner. Like if you were going to pick a partner for Gleb, that's not somebody. Who would you have picked for him?
For him?
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know from this crop. For her, though, I probably would have picked someone a little, like, goofier, like maybe like a Sasha or an Alan. But the thing I like is I feel like sometimes Gleb gets contestants who lean into their sexuality too much, and he doesn't know how to pull that back.
Mm.
And I think Lauren needed someone who was going to sort of push her to be a little more confident and sexy, but he needed a partner who was going to bring depth and emotion, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like she did a really interesting thing where we saw a deeper, more thoughtful side of Gleb this season. Mm-hmm. I just feel like they brought out the best in each other, and I really,
really
enjoy
did.
Them together.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think they pushed each other in the right direction. I think they did the right amount of pushing toward each other and for each other that didn't interfere or cause a riff or some kind of, you know, discontent in their dancing partnership. So that was nice to watch.
I love seeing him get emotional. I've never seen that side of Gleb before.
I know.
It was really sweet.
Oh, it was really sweet.
Yeah.
Aww.
Loved it.
I can't. What did you guys think about Kel and Whitney's Jazz to High School Musical? We referenced it a little earlier.
I think that you can tell this was his favorite dance
because
he came out and he delivered a great dance like he did the last time. This was my first dance that he came out and I was like, oh my gosh, like he actually has it in him. So I think that the fact that he came back and he was able to redo the dance, it was incredible. You can tell he really likes that diamond. Those diamonds, you guys,
you
that he does.
That.
I was like, he likes those.
He likes
being in the center and being like having people behind him, which who doesn't, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
This was his, you said this earlier, that this was his crossover to Disney, and I really do think so. It was his opportunity to be part of the High School Musical trend.
Jeff said that, but it sounded like something I would have said. Sorry,
we'll both take credit. We're a panel.
We'll both take credit for that. But yeah, he did a great job with that, and the judges were happy with it, and it was nice to see him revisit something. This is what I love about the finale for the contestants. It gives them an opportunity to revisit the journey that they've been on, because when they did these dances originally, their mindset and their journey and even their dance skills was at a very different place than it is by the time they get to this night.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see them get to this place and see the joy that comes along with the journey. I love that. I'm such a softie. But anyway, aww. I am. I'm a softie. But I loved seeing that. And then last up was Hannah and Alan with their Viennese waltz. Hannah, let's just address the elephant in the room. So with each one of these situations, the judges came in and talked to the contestants. With Hannah, Carrie Ann came in and spoke with her. And it was a situation that was not lovely. And Hannah felt some kind of way about it. And she was defensive about it. And I feel like, in general, Hannah, throughout most of this journey, is someone that is coming into a dance competition as a reality star where she didn't have to perform. She was just basically being herself.
Yeah.
So now you're in another reality show where skills are involved, where you're being critiqued on the skills. If you're just being yourself, you know, sleeping around or doing whatever you're doing on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, there's no skill involved in that. That's just what it is. But, I mean, you know what I mean? Either somebody likes you or they don't. But I know I'm just wrong. They're gonna come for me. I don't care. Come for me. But when you're on Dancing with the Stars, there's skill involved. And I feel like Carrie Ann Inaba, whenever she would say something, whether it be to Allie, whether it be to Hannah, or whoever she would make a comment, even Sean Spicer, Carrie Ann Inaba was a professional dancer. She was a fly girl on In Living Color. She was in the Austin Powers movie. She made a career and used most of her professional life making money as a professional dancer. That's what she did. She's been in this position, because being on Dancing with the Stars is like going to an audition and somebody telling you you got the gig or you didn't get the gig, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she has been in that position. Yeah. She knows exactly what that feels like to have somebody judge you based on what you're doing. I don't think she ever does it to slight. I think she does it for exactly the reasons that she said. Her sole purpose there is to help her, and it made her sad that Hannah was feeling some kind of way. How did y'all feel about that moment? Because I was like, ooh.
Yeah, we talked about it last week.
We did talk about it last week a little bit. It was definitely uncomfortable, but to just even go back to the whole point of her not being able to take criticism from
mm-hmm.
tonight,
mm-hmm.
I think that this dance, for me, a little bit, I feel like she underperformed, and I think it's because she was kind of, like, over it, and she's like, oh, okay, like, I've already done this, and I don't need to, like, you know, make it as perfect as I should have with, like, some of the kicks weren't really as great as they probably should have. She did start off on the wrong foot, and she didn't try to come back from it, but I think, like, the biggest thing, and maybe it's just from, like, a personal thing for me, is that I think that it's really important to be able to take criticism in any platform that you're at,
absolutely.
Like whatever work it is, you
it
know,
it makes you grow.
It makes you grow.
Yes.
And when you're able to own up to like you making a mistake is even bigger. It shows that you are growing even more when you're like, yeah, you know what? You're right. I did start on the wrong foot and it was kind of hard for me to come back from it. And I got into my head, but you know, I kind of did the best that I could and I delivered a dance. And I would have appreciated that much more than her being like, what? Like, no, I didn't. When, like, you know you did, you know? And that's okay. But I think that for her, she's been, like, this person and she's portrayed this picture that she's, like, a pageant girl. So, therefore, she has to be perfect. But the reality is, like, when you try something new, if you mess up, that's okay. Like, because there's people who have been, like, professionals for, like, so many years and doing something. And they still mess up till this day. But they own up to it. And that's how they grow. And that was, like, I think that was my biggest struggle with her.
Yeah.
Is that she didn't really grow from this experience at all. You know, she took the bad things from it. You you can tell, like, people's eyes don't lie. You know, somebody could be giving you a smile, but the way that they're looking at you, you can tell that she has so much resentment towards Carrie Ann, and she did not appreciate any of the feedback that she was giving her because she was telling her things that she didn't want to hear about her. And the truth, unfortunately, hurts. And it just kind of was one of those things that I was like, yeah, you know.
I think I'm somewhere in the middle with you guys. I think I approach Hannah a little differently just because I've seen her on her journey on The Bachelor and Bachelorette. Mm-hmm. And I think coming off that broken engagement, I think she's still a little broken up about it.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good point.
Yeah, and that's I actually agree with you guys. I think it wasn't always a good look to watch her take criticism so poorly. But it's been interesting to hear her on podcasts and stuff open up about how, like, she's trying therapy for the first time. She's coming off this world where she was, like, living this perfect Christian pageant life, and she's been thrown into this new person, and she's discovering who she is. And I feel like through that, we've seen some good sides of her and some rough sides of her, too, you know? And I think doing that all publicly, especially as a non-performer, has in some ways been pretty painful for her.
Yeah.
So I actually agree with you guys. I think she didn't always take criticism very gracefully. But I will say, I do think the judges came down hard on her sometimes. And Carrie Ann has a tendency to give really good coaching notes, but sometimes they are personal.
Sometimes it comes out wrong.
Yeah. Yes.
Sometimes, I sometimes feel like what she says is right on the money, mm-hmm. but it's the way that she communicates it and the tone in which she communicates it that makes you go, ooh, girl.
It's, I think like, with Carrie Ann, it's like those kind of notes would be really nice in a one-on-one private coaching. Mm-hmm. Where, 'cause what she'll do is she'll be like, are you having a tough day? She'll like call you out right away. And I know her heart is so earnest and it wants to be helpful, but on a live stage, that can be really challenging for people. And she wants to break you a little bit so she can grow you, but I think sometimes maybe that's better for a private rehearsal rather than a live taping.
Yeah, because I've, as a dancer, I've been in those rehearsals with those, choreographers and those directors. I had one director in particular that used to let me have it on a daily basis. And I used to, after every rehearsal, I would be in my car driving home, and I would be, and it's somebody really famous too. I'll tell y'all who it is when we get off the air. Yeah. But this director, I almost said, but this director, I would
Bob Fosse?
No, not Bob Fosse, but I would be in my car and I would call my mother every night and I would be crying. I would be just lit because I would be angry, not upset, but just mad. And my mother would be like, just take the criticism, get the credit, put this person's name on your resume and just keep it moving.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now me and that person are good, but ooh, child. I know what it feels like to be in that place where somebody is on you all the time and you're like, there are 20 other people here. You can't be on that person. Yeah. Why you gotta be on me?
Yeah.
Like, I totally get it. But then, after all of that was said and done, we had some performances. We had a little Pitbull with a little Neo. We had a little Cher action. Cher's going back on tour. I cannot wait. I think she's doing Vegas, too, but I can't wait. I'm so excited. And then we saw some former Dancing with the Champs in the Dancing with the Stars champs in the audience. We saw Jordan, who kept mugging for the camera every once in a while. We saw little Emmett Smith and little Bobby Jones, Bobby Bones. Why I always want to call him Bobby Jones? Bobby Bones. Bobby Jones is a gospel artist, like a completely different person. But anyway, but then the freestyle came up, and I always say that the freestyle is won and lost on Dancing with the Stars, right? Or so I thought until tonight. We'll get to that in a minute.
Before we get to freestyles, I do just want to shout out the chat. We have a ton of people in here tonight.
I know it's like 100 people, right?
Yeah, we have 120 people watching live right now, which is great, and it's still going up. And we're just really glad to have you guys. You know, we're crazy about this show just like you. And AfterBuzz TV is cool because we really are the fan network. We're the ESPN of TV talk, and it's so much fun for you guys to have us in the chat. We see all your comments. We're going to read some later in the show, but thanks for joining us. We love you guys. And if you're listening to the podcast right now, just as a nice gift to us as we approach Thanksgiving and Christmas, we would love it if you guys could hop on iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. We bring this to you for free because we really love this show and we really love you guys. And to throw that back and give us those 5 stars really does mean a lot and really does help our show that we bring you for free. So if you wanted to do that on iTunes, that would Apple Podcasts, pardon me.
Yes, it's changed its name.
It changed its name. That would be wonderful and we'd really appreciate it.
Yes, and if you're watching, ding! And if you're watching on YouTube, right below, you can subscribe, use the subscribe button, and you will get alerts the next time Dancing with the Stars or any of your other favorite after shows pop up on AfterBuzz TV.
And you can also give us a thumbs up.
Us a thumbs up. Yeah, all of that.
All of that.
So let's talk about this freestyle. What was y'all's favorite freestyle of the night?
I mean, Kells, right? Is there any other choice?
Kellen Whitney.
I did like Allie's, but as much as I loved Allie's, those mistakes kind of tarnished it a bit, you know?
But
it was great, though.
But the mistakes weren't her fault.
I know.
Yeah, they weren't.
And so if y'all have seen it, y'all know the mistakes we're talking about. It was two lifts that happened that kind of went awry.
Yeah.
They went grossly awry. But overall, I was like,
she was the most like finale with the song and the people and the opening and just like everything. It was a very finale-ish dance.
She was giving me J-Lo, Gloria Estefan. Yeah. I was like, yes, girl. She had that little J-Lo hairdo.
Yeah.
I was all about it. And her costume was matching Bruno's. I was all about it. But yes, I agree that Kell had probably the best freestyle of the night, and this is why. So I was pointing this out when we were watching it, right? And I said they did that hip hop routine to Jump by Crisscross. That song is fast enough as it is, and then they sped up the beat, they sped up the tempo, which was almost double the tempo of the original song, and they were still right in the pocket, right in sync. Nobody was behind the beat, nobody was ahead of the beat. I'm like, now that's how you do a freestyle,
which is really
right
upsetting
there.
That they didn't get a perfect score, because they had zero mistakes, zero.
I know.
Zero.
I know, but they gave Ali and Sasha a perfect score, and they had the two
and
little
they had
faux
two,
pas.
Yeah,
yeah, and then I wasn't crazy about Lauren and Gleb's freestyle.
I didn't love it either.
And I love her.
I know.
But
you know why? It's because it was more of like a performance of like, if she would have been singing, and that's what I would have expected to see. It was more of like a
Coachella.
Coachella, AMAs, you know, with the spirit of the AMAs last night. I feel like that would have been perfect. That was more of like
CMAs.
The CMAs as well. So it was just kind of one of those things where I was like,
that's a really good point. It did look like a performance on the Country Music Association.
It did. So
I think my disappointment with Lauren's dance was it was the very obvious choice. I think what you want with a freestyle is something that after you see it, you say, I didn't even think of that, but what a perfect idea for that person. Whereas I think with Lauren, it's like, okay, line dancing, country. I think like on paper, Lauren seems like this country girl, but I much preferred her when she was doing these beautiful foxtrots and these kind of elegant, graceful, surprising dances.
Yeah.
And for them to just do like a honky-tonk Nashville bar, it just felt like a very obvious choice, and I think it was underwhelming.
It was underwhelming, but I think they just wanted to go out on a high note and have some fun.
For sure.
Yeah, they wanted to play it safe.
I think for her to have to think about being in hold and holding her neck and her that back and all that, I think that was just... she's like, look, it's the last dance. Yeah. Can we just have some fun?
I hear you.
Yeah, that's probably what it looked like.
But I know what you mean, because like Hannah comes out and she starts delivering a really great dance in the beginning. I really enjoyed the tango, and I was like,
I was like, okay.
She looked really good at the beginning of that dance. We had to give it to her. She looked incredible.
She did.
I didn't like the middle of the dance, because it kind of went back to me stereotyping her as like
the cheerleader. Yeah, what was
and
that?
And I was like, what? I was like, you were doing so fantastic.
Yeah, I was having that cheerleading break.
Yeah, but then she closed it and she did great. So it was great. Not so great, and then great.
It was like beginning. The beginning and the end was fantabulous, and that middle was like, womp, womp, womp.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is happening right now? I don't understand what is going on. I felt like, in general, Hannah was dancing like, it is the last night. I'm going home after this. I'm going to get on a plane. I don't have to listen to Carrie Ann Bruno Lynn. I don't have to go to another rehearsal.
She's going back on The Bachelor.
Right, my feet don't have to hurt. And this was the other thing that was weird about it. Usually, they have a dance. What all of the contestants from the season came back, but they didn't do like a big thing like they usually do. Like they did the opening number, and that was kind of like it.
Yeah, I think they danced to the. Did they dance to the Pitbull song?
Yeah, they did.
But it was like,
But
it was like, it was more about Pitbull and Neo than it was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Usually they would do a number where it would feature like the contestants, or in the past they would have the contestants come out and do like their first dance a dance. Remember how they used to do that? I missed that.
Missed that a lot. Like on a night,
tonight.
Why
are they, it was almost like they were extras. They came back to be background. Like that's not okay.
And like to have so little James, you know? When he got so unfairly booted last week, does kind of feel like, you know, why are we watching? And I liked seeing Cher and I liked seeing Pitbull and Neo, but it's like, if we have all these, like, let's see Mary Wilson have a little redemption moment.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah. Like,
yes.
That's what I'm saying.
And
I
Ray.
Miss that.
And
I miss
Ray.
That.
Yeah.
Or Christy Brinkley. Like, her yeah. her wrist might be healed by now. She wasn't even there. Her daughter was.
Yeah.
So I'm just like.
I know.
That left me feeling some kind of way. And let's just talk about James getting the booty boot boot. I was like.
I know. We were shocked last week.
We were really upset last week.
That was wild.
My mouth dropped in my crack when I watched that. I was like, oh, my goodness.
I know.
Because I just knew he was going to win.
It's crazy.
Yeah, we thought he was going
to
win, too.
Oh, and speaking of the dances, curious to hear what you guys think of those, like, lattice-style red dresses, because the panel did not like them.
Yeah.
The cutouts.
Oh, yeah. We didn't like that.
The picnic blanket cutout.
They look like
It reminded me of Hustlers, and, like, Hustlers have pretty good outfits, but this was, like,
that was,
you know?
Trashy lingerie, for sure,
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah.
Somebody said, can we talk about how they showed Hannah in that Bachelor promo and asked her about it live before she danced? That was whack.
That's ABC, baby. The Bachelor is their bread and butter. They will do anything they can.
Literally, I said, I was like, they probably showed this just so that she can get those extra votes for the night.
Yeah.
I don't know what they were thinking, but I was just like,
Do you watch The Bachelor?
No, I don't watch The Bachelor.
Okay, me neither.
Okay, so let me just say this, because I say it on the air, because I said this in the trailer, and I don't really care. So I don't watch The Bachelor. I don't watch any reality TV shows like that. I don't watch the Housewife franchise. I don't watch The Bachelor. I don't watch anything in that lane because, honey, my life is full of intrigue and drama on its own. I don't need to see somebody else's intrigue and drama on television. Yeah. I don't need to watch that for an hour. Okay. I could watch my own life for an hour and get that. So, no, I like watching shows like Dancing with the Stars, like American Idol, like The Voice. You know, I like watching reality competition shows, but I'm not trying to watch The Bachelor because I just feel like, and you know, maybe that's just the old-fashioned Midwestern girl in me. Like, I'm just like, I come from a time or a background where, you know, somebody asks you out on the phone or, you know, they take you out on a date and you're not trying to get with somebody that's like trying to get with 30 other women at the same time. Like, I just don't get with that concept. I can't understand it.
Well, don't worry, guys. I am the monster who loves the Bachelor franchise, and I will be back on the after show in 2020. You know it. Gotta see Peter in that windmill.
Oh my God. You love yourself so much.
I love it.
I just thought about what you said about the windmill inside.
Oh my God. Oh my
Four
God.
Times.
Oh, and I almost forgot that other moment that they had, because, you know, they like to sprinkle those little moments in there. So American Idol had this contest of somebody that had to re-audition for a second shot at getting a golden ticket to do the Hollywood thing. And they gave it to this girl named Layla, and Lionel Richie was there to present that to her. But that was such an awkward, that was an awkward moment. Don't
that
you
was
think
awkward
that was awkward?
Too. Yeah, that was really awkward.
It was very strange.
Because it's not the same show, you know? Well, same network, but...
Right, but there was no explanation for it. It was just kind of like, okay, and now we're going to announce. I'm like, oh, but what happened to Dancing with the Stars? Okay. What is happening? I don't understand what's going on right now. But, oh, Lord.
Gosh, I'm having fun tonight on this show.
It's coming to an end. I'm so sad. Do we think Dancing with the Stars is going to get a 29th season?
Yeah, I think it will.
You think?
I think they might want to hit to 30.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
They might lock it off with 30. But I don't know. I feel like it's just one of those shows that will probably continue to go on for, like, ever, you know, even if it doesn't really do as well as it probably used to.
Okay. Well, we'll see, won't we?
We will.
Yeah.
So after all of those freestyles and all of those revisits of dances and all of those little pop-in by all these little artists and people and whatnot, they finally announced what the order of who was going to get what. And I was shocked and amazed because I called at the beginning of the show. I'm like, ooh, Lauren or Allie going to win. And Lauren was fourth. I was like,
Just like that.
Right. I really was. My face did do a record scratch. I was like, what is happening right now? And if that wasn't bad enough, then the third one was who?
Allie and Sasha, yeah.
And then there was another record scratch after that. And so then we were left with Kel and Whitney and Hannah and Alan and Jeffrey C. Graham. You called it.
At the beginning of the broadcast, I just had a feeling. I think, you know, Yeah, I know you guys didn't watch Hannah on the Bachelor franchise this season, but she was edited to be much more likable than she was on this season of Dancing with the Stars. It's interesting. On The Bachelor, I was not really a fan of hers. I think a lot of the tendencies, maybe the arguably unlikable tendencies we saw from Hannah during this season, were much more present during her season as a contestant. You know what it is? I don't think being a contestant and being in a competition necessarily serves the best parts of who she is. Whereas when she was the lead of the show, she was actually really compelling. She was this kind of fiercely independent woman who it was very cool to see her kind of undergo this journey of learning who she was. So she shocked me in her season of The Bachelorette as being a very likable, independent, thoughtful, kind of moving journey of a woman kind of learning who she is. But then I kind of understood why America, who didn't know Hannah, maybe didn't love her back in the role of a competitor. Because I don't know if it always brings out the best in her. So, but my point being, those of us who saw Hannah on The Bachelorette had a lot of goodwill toward her. And never underestimate the power of Bachelor Nation. That's what I'll say.
Well, they're crazy.
I think I said last week when we were like, oh, predictions, who's going to win? I figured that she was going to win, honestly, just because of the votes. I was like, either she's going to win, or I thought it was probably going to be surprising if, like, Kel would. But we already knew. I thought that maybe Lauren would win. It was, for me, it was between Hannah and Lauren, but I did not see. I did not see Allie winning. Actually,
I was convinced it was going to be between Allie and Lauren, and as I said, my jaw dropped to my crack when they said it was Hannah.
I think that if it would have been based on their dances and the growth of, like, them as dancers, yes, definitely would have been between Allie and Hannah. But unfortunately, as we've seen with last year's, I think the past, like, this year and last year have been the most shocking ones, because it hasn't really been people that
dance well. Right, because last year it was Bobby Bones.
And last year was Bobby Bones, and everybody was, like, shook because they were like, well, he didn't grow as a dancer. He's not a dancer. And neither did Hannah. Hannah didn't grow as a dancer throughout the show, you know? She just kind of, she came in killing it, and then she just kind of stayed in the same position.
You know, you're absolutely right. She did, because she did come on to the show slaying. And I was like, oh, this girl has dance experience. You could tell by her lines and the way she pointed her feet and the way she held her body up that she has some type of dance training. But you were right, Jeffrey C. Graham, about that Bachelorette Nation. They are hardcore. And I admit, the only time, now that I'm thinking about it, the only time I ever watched The Bachelorette was that one time they had the sister on there. That was the only
Rachel.
One
time.
Rachel.
Did you like that season?
I was like, really though?
Yeah.
I was watching that going, I'm confused.
Yeah.
Like the whole finale thing of how they end that always confused
Peter and Brian, that was crazy.
Yeah, I was like, I don't understand.
For Alan's first mirror ball win, though, that's what a lot of people are bringing up. Kind of fun for Alan, for him to win a mirror ball, right?
Yeah.
That's nice.
But did we peep this? So we peeped it. Well, I peeped this. So usually after they announce the winner and everybody, you know, globs around everyone, usually the people that win, they lift both of them up. Everybody's there. It's a whole big cheerful thing. And this year, when Hannah and Alan won, you saw Alan up in the air. I didn't see Hannah in the air. And I saw everybody congregating around Kel and Whitney, which was weird.
Yeah. You didn't even see the reaction of the judges either.
No. We didn't see that. And the camera wasn't on any of that. And then they cut away and was like, okay, see you next season for Dancing with the Stars. I'm like, what the hell? What's going on?
Yeah, it wasn't really like much of a like a celebration that she won. It was just more like, okay, here's the trophy, bye.
Yeah, it was like, here's the trophy, bye, end of the episode, we'll see y'all next season. I'm like, oh. I was like, what's going on?
Yeah.
I don't disagree.
It was a lot going on. I don't understand.
She's an ABC girl. And
yeah, well, clearly.
If you watch ABC...
It was weird. It was weird, and it was rushed, and it was all of that. But what I will like to shout out is that the crew at Dancing with the Stars, the costumers, the hair, the makeup people, they worked their buns off to make that show look as effortlessly as it does when we watch it. And so they definitely need a big ups and some applause.
Yep.
Yeah.
They work hard.
They really do.
And those costumes, they are building those new costumes every week. It's not like they're buying those costumes from a costume shop and redoing it. They're building them from scratch, right?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, so that you've got all those people. And so answer me this, Carlo, as somebody who's worked there, How many fittings do they have to have with those costumes? Do you know?
Well, it honestly depends because sometimes they will do the dance and then they'll try to figure out what they want the look to look like. Mm-hmm. So they kind of work together. Most of the time, it's the dancers that work with the costume designers to figure out what they're going to do. But it's so many wardrobe fittings because they want to get it perfect to where they are, you
so
know?
So they can dance comfortably and not be thinking about something pinching them or this possibly coming out or this boob popping out over here. You know what I mean?
And they keep them for a while.
Yeah. So, yeah, they definitely deserve their props. What's going on in the chat room, Jeff? Who are we going to shout out?
Some mixed opinions on Hannah, which is interesting. Nick Kai, I appreciate your candor, says, seems like the panel wishes it was more of a personality contest. Hannah was the best technical dancer of the four finalists. Appreciate your opinion. Respectfully disagree. I think Allie was a little bit of a stronger dancer than Hannah.
He said the panel meaning us?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not basing my opinion based on a personality contest. Mm-mm. I'm basing my opinion, and I said this earlier in the show, strictly based on the fact of Dancing with the Stars is supposed to be a journey of taking someone who has never danced and turning them into a dancer. So based on that opinion and that opinion alone is why I said Lauren.
Yeah,
it's not. It wasn't that I like Lauren better than anybody else or anything like that. Based on what the journey of Dancing with the Stars is supposed to be, as someone who has watched every single season since day one, that's why I was rooting for Lauren.
It's kind of the same thing for Allie as well, because Allie kind of came into the show being more of like a performer and like a pop like star singer, but now she's kind of developed into being more of like a ballroom dancer.
Jassy Jones, Hannah is the first Bachelor franchise winner, actually, which is interesting.
Oh, that is interesting.
Yeah, I'm surprised because of all the Bachelor people they've had on, she's the first to win.
They've had quite a few of them on there too. Grocery store Joe was from Bachelor franchise,
yeah,
right?
He was.
Yeah.
The only reason why he probably didn't win was because he wasn't really a great dancer.
Oh.
No, he sucked.
Understatement of the year.
He was pretty awful.
Yes.
Nice guy, but he sucked.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
What else they talking about?
Emily Marlowe says, most winners have past training and it was never an outrage. Why is it with Hannah? That's an interesting point. I think you can tell who's a fan of Hannah from this franchise and who...
Right. Again, I can't speak for y'all, but I can speak for myself. I'm not hating on Hannah. Right. Let's be very crystal clear about this from my perspective. I'm not hating on Hannah. I don't dislike Hannah at all. I said early on, Hannah is a lovely dancer. She has lovely lines. She would execute her dances beautifully. I don't have any problem with the way Hannah danced. In my opinion, I felt like there were other people that were better overall, well-rounded wise, not just technically. And again, as I said, Dancing with the Stars, we just said the person that has the best technique isn't always the one that wins.
Yeah.
Bobby Bones didn't have technique anywhere and he won. So, I mean, you know, it's not about that. It's about so many other things. And the truth of the matter is, we just a panel talking about what we see. We like the show and we talking about it amongst ourselves. Like if we were watching this at home in the living room with some popcorn and some cocktails, this is the conversation that we would have in our house.
For me, I absolutely think James Vanderbeek deserved to win.
Yes,
I think he was the strongest, best performer.
Best personality, best father of the year.
Yeah, I mean,
best
he
husband
been my
of the
pick.
Year. Yeah.
Even just watching him, I always looked forward to his dances the most. So, I don't know.
You know, they're still going on about how. So we're saying that they think that we have issues with Hannah having experience but that we don't have issues with James having experience. Again, it doesn't matter who has experience and who doesn't have dance experience.
Yeah.
What matters is the journey, y'all. It's the journey of Dancing with the Stars. It's where you come when you start and where you come when you finish. And some people go on emotional journeys. Some people go on personal journeys where they grow as a person. Some people go on dance journeys. Like everybody's journey as a celebrity and as a pro is very different on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that, you know, whoever has the best experience or doesn't should win. It should be, you know, the person that had the best journey, the person who grew the most, in my humble opinion. That's just my opinion.
One quick correction. Melissa Rycroft did win the All-Stars season. So on her encore, second returning, she did win. So technically...
Yes.
That's a good. Thank you for the chat. Whoever corrected us there, I'm sorry I'm not shouting you out.
No worries.
Oh, Gretchen Marie, thank you.
Do we think there's going to be another All-Star season?
Could be fun. I think the show needs a shake-up.
Yeah, yeah. They got to do something because this was a hot buttered mess.
Really, really have to do something.
Well, I think that about does it. Do we want to do a roll call of everybody before we say goodbye?
I guess so. We're getting out of here. No predictions.
I know. No predictions. We're done.
I know. No predictions.
Oh, wow.
If we had to do just the quickest news, Josh, unrelated to this show, but franchise-wise, they did drop that new Bachelor promo, and I'm sure ABC is going to be obsessing over what we saw. If you guys want to see a full breakdown of what happened in the trailer, what we're seeing, I will be doing a Bachelor News Daily breakdown of the trailer tomorrow before we head to Turkey Day. So make sure you check that out on our sister channel, which is AfterBuzz Reality, not AfterBuzz Competitions. Cool. And the chat's giving us so much love right now. I just want to say, Sheena123, Carla, Jeff, love you all. We miss you, Teague. Jaden Davis, I'm going to miss you guys. Jassy Jones, shout outs. Just really nice. Christian Hernandez, we love y'all. Carla, Jeff, and Teague.
Aww.
Y'all are very supportive. Not every fandom is like this.
I know, it really isn't. But we thank y'all so much for joining us for season 28 of Dancing with the Stars. We have had a wonderful time here. We do miss Teague because Teague is our girl. She's ride or die for Dancing with the Stars just like we are.
She is savage.
She is.
Yeah. I would have loved to hear her commentary.
She is fierce, but she is savage. Oh my God. You know Teague would have went in.
Yes. She would have went in.
But we love her and we missed having her here this evening. But that does it for us.
Let's get out of here.
Where can we find y'all?
Well, you guys, thank you so much for an amazing season. I am Carla Beltran, and you can follow me on Instagram at @IamCarlaBeltran.
We'll see you guys next season here on Dancing with the Stars. If you guys want to follow me on Instagram, that's where I want to be routing people now, is to my Instagram. That's the new, like, thing. So
yeah.
Y'all can find me at Jeffrey Crane Graham. That's CraneGraham.
And I'm Carla Renata. You can find me across all social media platforms at The Curvy Critic. You can also find me here at Black Hollywood Live on Sundays doing my film review show, The Curvy Critic with Carla Renata. And right back here at AfterBuzz TV on Sundays doing the General Hospital After Show. So, until next season, season 29 of Dancing with the Stars, we will see y'all on the flip side.
Ciao.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.